Amen. You may be seated. Amen. Amen. And I love that. That song says, I'm sorry when I just went through the motions. What he's saying is actually my message. It's all into the end. So I'm sorry when I just went through the motions. In other words, I'm sorry when I wasn't faithful. Yeah. I'm talking about faithfulness today. You know, and I'm sorry when I just went through the motions. I'm sorry when I just sung the song. You know, so many times we come into church, we're just going through the motions. We're just singing the song. We're not thinking about God. We're not worshiping. We're just reading the words on the board, right? So many times we're reading our Bible. I catch myself, pastor, and I'm reading, and I'm thinking about something else. I'm like, wait a second. I just had a whole conversation in my mind about something as I was reading, and I don't remember nothing I just read. I got to go back and read it again. Don't just read, just read. Same way with prayer. Sometimes I'll pray and I'll have, again, my ADD mind. I'll have a conversation in my mind and all of a sudden I realize I'm not praying no more. I'm thinking about something. Right? Come on, let's just be real. It happens. You know? And so I'm like, God, I'm sorry. Forgive me, Lord. My mind is so scattered. God, help me focus right now, you know? And help me, Lord, just because. And then I just go into repentance. God, I love you. I'm so sorry. You're just amazing. And I just have to take a minute to talk to him about how great he is so I can realize why I don't want to be sidetracked. Right? Faithfulness. All into the end. And faithfulness is, I'm going to read a scripture here in just a second. But I every time I talk about faithfulness, I love this scripture. And I read this, not this scripture, this definition. Because this definition is just, to me, is perfection. When it comes to faithfulness, the first one is endurance, and we know that is endurance. We know faithfulness is endurance, right, to the end or whatever. But the next one is my favorite because it exemplifies what true faithfulness is. Faithfulness is crashing through the quitting points. I just love that because, I mean, how often do you ever want to quit? You know, amen, me. You know, and so what it's saying is you're crashing, you're wanting to quit, but you crash through that and say, no, I'm going to be faithful to this. I'm going to keep going, even though it's hard, even though it's rough, even though it's bad, even though things are going on, I'm not going to quit. I'm going to push right on through this, and I am not going to quit. I'm going to crash through those quitting points. Or here's another one, a long obedience in the same direction. That's faithfulness. Take that obedience and just make it long, and you're just walking in obedience in the same direction. That's faithfulness. My spiritual mother, Jeannie Mayo, says, when fatigue walks in, faith walks out. I have to often remember that, you know, because I get tired, you know, traveling all this weekend, teaching and all that kind of stuff and having to go back and coming up. It's a lot. But I have to remember that during those moments that if I'm not careful, I can lose faith. Because when you're tired, all of a sudden your faith level drops a lot of times. Right. And so we got to be careful whenever we get tired. We got to remember, man, I cannot let my faith drop just because I'm tired. Get rest. That's why rest is so important for the body, for physicalness. But it's also, rest is very important for your spiritual body as well, your spirit. It's super important so you can have that faith. You are just not as faithful when you're tired, right? Because, you know, hey, how many times has somebody stayed in bed on a Sunday morning because they were tired? And they weren't able to be faithful because they were tired, right? So the fatigue walks in, faith walks out, and so does church on Sunday morning, right? So Jesus was talking about the end times in his next scripture, and we're in the end times, as you know. All this stuff is them attacking Israel. Even though nothing happened, you know, with the eclipse, that was still a sign of the time. Scripture says the sun and moon are signs. It doesn't have nothing great has to happen that day. I told you nothing was going to happen, right? You know, but the thing is, it's still a sign of things that are happening. All these wars and this kind of stuff. So Matthew 24 and 10 talks about in the last days is in the New Living Translation. It says, and many will turn away from me and betray and hate each other, right? And many false prophets will appear and deceive many people. Man, I'll tell you what, if you look on Instagram and TikTok and these places at some of these pastors, I'm like, where in the world and what Bible did you get that out of, bro? It's like not even close. There's so much falsehood on there that people are talking about stuff. It says, and sin will be rampant everywhere. And the love of many will grow cold. But here it is, faithfulness. But the one who endures to the end will be saved. Okay, the one who endures to the end through all the hardships, all the stuff in your life, when you endure to the end, when Jesus Christ comes back, either you die or the rapture takes place, then you will be saved. Talking about not being, it's not talking about being saved, God forgive me. It's talking about saved from this world and entering into eternity, right? That sounds a lot like the last two or three years, doesn't it? And it's going on every single day. Every area of our life, faithfulness is dramatic, you know, and dramatically impacts it. Faith, you know, marriage is a covenant before God. You know, Brittany and Philip just had a beautiful wedding. If you hadn't seen their pictures, man, you need to ask her to see them. Some of the most beautiful wedding pictures I've ever seen. But they just had their wedding, and that was not just a promise to stay together. That was just not hey, we're gonna try this, see what happens. When you stand before God and you make that covenant, you're making a covenant before God. You're saying to the end. Better for worse, richer or poorer, for sickness and health, forever, we're not going to break, right? And so same way with family. You know, when you have family, your family is going to be family always. And we need to be faithful. But and we know right now, especially in today's society, when I was a teenager, and families stuck together like glue. Today, they don't very much anymore because they're not faithful to one another. Occupation. You got to be faithful to your occupation. Why do most people get fired? Because they did something wrong? No. A lot of people get fired because just the very fact that they say, well, they just didn't show up. How many times have you ever heard somebody say they got fired because they just didn't show up, right? Because they weren't faithful to doing the job. Ministry, you got to be faithful. I got to show up. If I don't show up here on Sunday morning, then hey, somebody better get up here and do something, right? But you know, but that's not faithful. How often would you keep coming to a church where I just didn't show up very often, right? Your fulfillment in life, the church attendance. And church, we got to be faithful in church attendance, man. It's starting to come back now. After COVID, man, it dropped way down to about a third, it seemed like. You know, because people told me, Pastor, it's just so much easier to sit at home in the bed or on the couch and watch TV. And I'm like, but you need to come to church one time. Because once you come one time and you feel what we feel in here, and you realize that you can't feel that on the television, then you're going to want to come. And you're going to be more faithful to it. Now, we do have a lot of outreach and people out of town, and we bless you guys. I'm so thankful y'all are watching it. Wish y'all could be with us. And some of them have told me, I wish I could come, you know. But thank God you are here online with us. But attendance, man, we got to be faithful in attendance. We got to be faithful in our giving to God. Like I said a while ago, it's the only place in the world where God says, just test me. Just try it, you know. You know, I've told some people before, you know, try it for 90 days. And if you try paying your tithes for 90 days. And if you truly do it and truly do it for the right reasons, and you're not blessed, and you don't get blessed because of you giving your tithes, I'll give all your money back. You know, because I believe in that. I know. It's not even I believe in it that much. I know that that works. I know when you're faithful, and I know when you give what you don't have, and you still get it. It's been proven in my life over and over and over and over again. I don't know how it works. It's like VA math. We always say that math ain't mathing. That don't make sense, right? So your attendance, your giving, your serving. You know, we got to have people serve. And it doesn't do good whenever someone's supposed to serve and they're not here. Then we got to try to find somebody else. And then somebody else is busy and it goes on. You know, faithfulness in giving and serving. Your faithfulness in your walk with God. Your lack of faithfulness in your walk with God is catastrophic. When you are not faithful in your Christian walk with God, it is a catastrophe. Because you cannot be caught up in His presence when you just show up once in a while. You know, you do have those friends that when you're talking with them, that, you know, it's like you never left. I got a friend of mine, a couple of them, Philip Britt and Jay Daughtry and some other ones, that whenever I'm with them, I can't see them in 25 years. And as soon as I sit down, it's like we've been best buds. You couldn't tell that we missed a day. Okay. But nine and a half times out of 10, if you hadn't seen somebody in a while, hey, how are you doing? Good. How are you doing? So what's up? Not much. How you been? Pretty good. Everything good? You know, it's like this awful conversation. Everybody has it. And I actually think about it, I'm like, I could stop. Don't say, are you good and hello anymore, you know, because you just, that's what you do. Because you have to see, it's awkward. Saying, how much worse, if that's a friend of yours, how much worse is it when you haven't seen God very often? When you haven't spoken to God very often and you go to God. He's like, I got you. Come here. But we're like, hey, how are you doing? I'm a Christian. Remember me? My name is Doug. You know, and we come up there stutter, and so, but you can't get caught up in His presence when you're not faithful to being in His presence. You have to be faithful to being in His presence to be caught up in His presence. Romans 8:18. For I consider that the suffering of the present times are not worthy to be compared to the glory which shall be revealed. I got a lot of scriptures, so I'm not going to have all of them up. I just had that first one. The glory which shall be revealed in us. The little bit of, I talked about this a couple weeks ago, the little bit of trouble that we go through here is nothing compared to the bliss and the glory that we'll have in heaven by being faithful to Him and staying saved and doing the right thing. Okay, so I want to talk a little bit, a few minutes about what God does, and I want to talk about what we do. Through the Lord's mercies, we are not consumed. Because His compassions, they fail not. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. That's Lamentations 3:22-23. So every single morning, God has brand new mercies for us. That's why His compassion does not fail, because every single morning He's faithful. Every single morning to having those brand new mercies and saying, "Hey, here, brand new mercies every morning." Well, but God, I used them all up yesterday. That's okay. I got a brand new batch today for you, right? Every single day He promises. Every day I got mercy for you. I got mercy for you. You're my child. I got mercy. That's why he never loses compassion. That's why He is never not compassionate. He always has compassion because He always has mercy. Okay? I love how the message says it. It says God's loyal love couldn't have run out. His merciful love couldn't have dried up. They're created new every morning. How great is your faithfulness? Listen to this. I'm sticking with God. I'll say it over and over. He's all I've got left. I love that. His love is all you've got. You know, the only other option is the world, and we know how that turns out. Right? 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sins, if we confess that we're wrong, that we've messed up in our sins, it says He is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That faithful and just is to be honorable, free from bias, favoritism, or deception. So if we confess our sins, He's faithful and just every single time. I've said this many times from the pulpit that somebody asks, when will God stop forgiving me? Well, when you quit asking. He will. Every time you ask, He will forgive you. You know, He's never not going to forgive you. You know, so the thing is we got to understand that is that we got to trust God, and we got to say, God, I forgive me. I messed up. You know, You're so faithful. God, forgive me for my lack of faithfulness. 1 Corinthians 10:13, no temptation has taken you but such as common to man, which means, in other words, you're not going through any temptation that somebody else in this world has not been through. Whatever you're going through, somebody else has already been through it, and also God, Christ Jesus has always been through it as well. It says such as not common to man, but God is faithful. I love how He just throws that right in the middle of it. Okay, you're going through a lot of stuff. There's other people's been through it, but God is faithful, and He will not allow you to be tempted beyond your ability. With that temptation also to provide a way to escape. He's saying, look, I'm so faithful to you that when you're tempted to sin, I 100% of the time will have an escape route for you so you don't have to sin when you're tempted. So every time you sin, there's a thought in your mind, there's a picture that you see, there's something around you. There's something happening somewhere, mind, thought, feeling, emotion, somewhere you're going to think about a way not to do what you're about to do. But we choose the flesh, and we choose to sin. So God's saying that, hey, I know you're going to be weak, but I'm going to be faithful. And every time you're tempted to sin, every time you're tempted to do something wrong, I'm always going to give you that little process. I'm always going to have something. I'm always going to have, like I said, a picture, a thought, a person. Something's going to come to mind. Something's going to make you think, don't do this. That's what the Scripture talks about when it says that bring up a child in the way of the Lord, and when he's old, he will never depart from it. That Scripture is not promising that you teach your child as a young child that they're going to be saved all their life. What it's preaching is saying that if you bring them up in the way of the Lord, they'll never get away from the conviction. That's what that Scripture is saying. It's saying they'll never be able to get away from that conviction of God saying, hey, you know this isn't right. You know this isn't right. You know this isn't right. Holy Spirit will always be there. He is faithful. And He is faithful and shows His faithfulness so we can be faithful. Psalm 91:4. Like a bird, He will cover you with His feathers, and under His wings shall you trust and find refuge. His truth and His faithfulness are your shield and your buckler. I love that. You know, you have that shield, and the shield in the Hebrew is rendered faithfulness. That's what the shield is rendered. Faithfulness, dependable. It's a hook or a barb or a fence or a barrier is what they whenever you look up that in Hebrew, what a shield is. It's an impermeable shield. That's what they would have take in battle with, in that shield. And it's a protector. And Christ is, God is saying, I'm going to be your shield. I'm going to be your impermeable shield. I'm going to be your faithfulness. I'm going to be your dependable. I'm going to be your hook and barbed fence where nobody can get to you, right? And then it says a buckler. You know, you think about your belt buckle. And I love my new belt I got. I got a belt offline. And this is not, I don't have it on today. But it's a zip. It's one of the zip ones. You just zip it in. And you mash the button and pull it out. It's really kind of cool. It's like zip. Except for whenever Gina's trying to sleep in the morning, I'm getting dressed. I'm like zip. And she's, you know, anyway. But that belt stays on and it's faithful to keep my pants up, right? So a buckler is a portable shield. It's one that you can take on and take off. And it's one that wraps around your waist to protect your loins. And so that's what the buckler is. It's a piece of the battle warrior stuff, right? You probably had one on in some of your Fire King stuff that you do. First Thessalonians 5:24, it says, faithful is he who is calling you, and he will also do it. See, the New Living Translation says that God will help make this happen because he's faithful. When God calls you to something, he is faithful to make sure that calling is fulfilled. He's not going to call you and say, let's see how far you get. Do your best, and then I'll come in and rescue you. No, he's going to help you, and he's going to be there. Whenever he's going to help it happen, he's going to help it go through. He's going to help the calling be fulfilled. He does not call the qualified. He qualifies the called, right? So it doesn't matter. There's a lot of people that are qualified that are not called. Okay? But God says, but when I call you, you don't worry about it. I'll qualify you. Because there's so many people. Look at the disciples. They weren't qualified. They were rough and tough and rambunctious. And man, some of them were bad people. And Peter was a fussing, cussing sailor. I mean, but the thing is God changed them all. Jesus changed them all and helped them. He didn't say, okay, y'all were qualified. Y'all come with me. He said, no, I see your heart. I'll qualify you. I'll make it happen. A few scriptures that's some of God's faithfulness. It shows how faithful he is to us. But for us to understand that how we need to be faithful, Luke 16:10 says, if you are faithful in the little things, you will be faithful in the large things. But if you are not trustworthy in the little things, you won't be trustworthy in the greater responsibilities. Well, why don't I have $1 million? Well, probably because God's like, well, if you can't pay tithes on $100 a month, then how are you going to pay tithes on $1,000 a month? $1 million a month. You know what I'm saying? If you got $1 million, that's $100,000. If you got $1,000, it's only $100. It's a whole lot. If you can't write a little check, how are you going to write a big check? Right? So the thing is, but it's not just in money. It's just in general. That he gives you he gives you responsibility in ministry. He gives you responsibility in this and the people around you at work. And if we can't be responsible in the smaller things, then we cannot be responsible. He's not going to give us more responsibility. Galatians 5:22-23, it says that the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, kindness, meekness, temperance, and faith. Against there such is no law. Faithfulness is one of the fruits of the Spirit. It's one of the fruits of the Spirit the Holy Spirit gives you whenever he is in you. Proverbs 28:20, the trustworthy person will get rich, but a person who wants quick riches will get into trouble. See, committed and persistent works. Don't worry about these little quick rich schemes. They don't work. What's going to work? The grind. Grinding, grinding, grinding. Being faithful. Going to work every day. Getting paid that regular check. Trying to roll that dice and trying to get that one big chunk of money is just not going to happen. You know, it does happen, but it's like one in a billion people. You know, you little scratch off. Oh, yeah, I won $10. Okay, that didn't change your life. You wasted your money. Right? You know? You got, yeah, I won $10, but it was a $20 scratch-off. Okay, yeah, you're still in the hole, bro. Just give it up. Just go back to work tomorrow. You ain't going to win it, right? So Proverbs 3:3, let not steadfast love and faithfulness forsake you. Bind them around your neck like a tablet on your heart. In other words, it's like take the faithfulness of God, take the word of God. You know, many times it says, you know, let it be on your heart. When it says let it be on your heart, tattoo on your heart, it's talking about memorize it. Memorize as much as you can. Put it around your neck. It's just like a necklace. This right here reminds me. It says, bring them home. I got this in Israel. It's talking about the hostages. We need to continue to pray for the hostages to come home. And when I have this around my neck, I don't normally wear necklaces a lot, but I used to. But I have this one, and until they come back, I'm going to probably have this around my neck most days. Why? So I can remember. So whenever you have the Word of God around your neck and on your heart, symbolically, you will remember, and it will remind you of how good God is and how He's faithful and how we need to be faithful, right? 1 Corinthians 4:2. Moreover, it is required of stewards that a man should be found faithful. We are stewards of stuff. We are stewards of our family. We are stewards of our money. We are stewards of our time. We are stewards of our talent. Okay, there's a lot more stuff that we're stewards than just money. Right? So we got to understand that we are stewards of all these things that God has given us, and we need to be faithful. Matthew 25:21. And on that day the Lord said to him, "Well done, thy good and faithful servant. You were faithful over a few things, and I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joys of the Lord." And see, that scripture was talking right after Jesus gave them the talents. And some buried the talents, didn't do nothing with it. And some invested it and did things and got lots of money back. And so he's like, hey, well done, that good and faithful servant. It's also talking at the judgment seat. When we stand before God, we will stand there. And if you have been faithful, he'll say, well done, that good and faithful servant. Enter into the joys of the Lord. That I want to hear that. I don't want to say, hey, bro, you just slid in by the seat of your pants. You know, as long as I'm there, I'll be happy. But I don't, even if I did that, yeah, I would be in heaven. But I want to say before God, just like you and your dad, you and your mom, don't you want your mom and dad to be proud of you? You don't want them to say, hey, you made it by 1 second. You know, you want to say, hey, you did good. You came home earlier than I asked you to. Man, I'm proud of you. Thank you. Thank you for thinking about that. You didn't have to come home this early, but you did. Thank you. So that same way we got when we get to heaven. You know what? Hey, you just slid in here. No. You are faithful. You did everything I asked you to do to the best you could. You messed up sometimes. You made mistakes, but you still were faithful. Well done. Enter in into the joys of the Lord. And so in closing here, I'm going to tell you four quick things of times that we need to remember the most about faithfulness. Number one, faithfulness in the boring, unmotivated, dull, grind every day to day stuff, the plateau times. You're not on a mountaintop and you're not in a valley, but you know, and you go from the valley to the mountaintop to the valley to the mountaintop, but then sometimes there's a plateau that you're on and you're just kind of going to plateau for a while, and then you go to the mountaintop and then another plateau. And so we got to understand those plateau times when nothing exciting is happening. It's not super revival going on in your life. You're just hitting the ground. You're just doing day-to-day stuff. You're working. You come to church. You're feeling God's presence. But it's just day-to-day. You're going through that time, you know, because what happens is after a while, if it's not new, there's not no new thrills, you kind of get bored with it, right? You get bored with it if there's not no new thrills. It's kind of like if you went to Disney World and you rode Space Mountain, you know, every day. Okay, well, hey, the Space Mountain's been around. I've rode it 100 times. I'm tired of it now. All I think about is how my head bangs around everywhere where I'm in it. You know, it's so old and got rough. It's just flinging my head around everywhere. You know, but so that's why theme parks, Disney, the other theme parks, Carowinds and Busch Gardens, they always come out with new rides. Why? Because people lose faithfulness and quit going if they're ridden everything and they get bored with them. Same way with God. God's like, don't get bored with me. You know, hey, I have all kind of new things. I have all kind of new excitement things to do for you. Matthew, and I'll finish that thought in a minute. Hebrews 13:8. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. If anybody has a right to get bored with what they're doing, it's Jesus. He's the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. What'd you do yesterday? This. What'd you do today? Same thing. What'd you do tomorrow? Same thing. Right? You know, so if anybody has a right to be bored with themselves, it'll be him. And he's not. He considers it a joy to say, I am faithful to you and I'm not going to change because I want you to know how faithful I am. If you're going to be good, because if you're going to be good at anything, you're going to do it until you get bored. That's when you know that you're really starting to be good at something. It's when you're starting to get bored with it. If you got a skill and you're finally, you're just kind of like, oh man, I do this all the time. I can do it with my eyes closed. Okay, now you're starting to get good, right? And that's what we got to do with God. We got to learn during those mundane, boring times and say, you know what, God, you're my King, you're my Lord, and we got to keep that going. Because you know why? Because for instance, our marriage, you know, people say, well, we just kind of grew apart, You know, no, you didn't. You quit keeping spice in your life. What have you done to your spouse to help your spouse stay excited about you? What has your spouse done to you to try to make it? What have y'all done? Have y'all went on dates? Have you romanced? Have you talked? Have you whatever it is? It's our responsibility as spouses to try to do what we can, do our part to keep spice in the marriage. And if not, neither one of you can complain about it. Well, why are we waiting on God? And why? Let me back up. So, you know, Bruce, why would Bruce wait on Angie to bring excitement to the marriage? You know, why would Angie wait on Bruce? It's our responsibility. It's me. So why would we wait, trying to wait for God to bring excitement to us? Why don't we do? God, I'm going to serve you even harder today. I'm going to serve you even better today. I'm going to do everything that I can to make things better and bring more excitement. I'm going to do more service today. I'm going to do what I can, right? Because the right choices eventually bring the right attitudes. You know, you keep on making the right. Yeah, but I ain't got the right attitude. Well, keep doing right, and eventually the right attitude will take place. Because a diamond is only is just stuck in this little clam or whatever it is. It's just stuck in there for a long period of time with a lot of pressure, and all of a sudden it becomes a diamond because of the constant mundane boring pressure brings forth the diamond, brings forth the pearl as well, right? Also, faithfulness in the hard, crushing times of defeat, Galatians 6:9. And let us not grow weary in well-doing, for at the right time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up and quit. When times of defeat, we need to be faithful. In times of defeat, we need to really bear down and be faithful. Do you know what? Hope, Pastor Hope, is somebody on our executive staff. When they went in December to Israel, she talked to some people. And she said that they were, what were they doing? She said, well, me and some people, we're planting, you know, seeds for the harvest. She's like, y'all are displaced. Y'all are living in motels. Your houses are destroyed. They said, yes, but we know that we will rise again. And when we rise again, we need to harvest. It's going to go on. So during times of defeat, I was like, oh my God, that's amazing. That here they are, they're in a war, still in a war at that point in time pretty much. They're in a war, they're displaced, they're not even at the homes. But them and other people from other countries and their family went out and still planted seeds in the gardens so they could still have a harvest at harvest time. Amen. That's what we got to do. Amen. True champions know that the pain is always seasonal. That pain is a passageway to promotion. Pain is a passageway to being better, right? 2 Timothy 1:3. And Mike, you can come up. 2 Timothy 2:1-3. So, my son, be strong in grace that Jesus gives. Everything that you've heard from me, preach in public, so you should entrust to reliable men who are able to pass it on to others. Put up with your share of hardship as loyal soldiers in Christ's army. We need to be faithful and teaching other people how to be Christians. Discipleship, right? That's so important because we need to not just tell people, we need to be faithful in teaching people to teach people. We're getting ready to have the dumbest group of Americans that we've ever had. Why? Because, hey, they got a question. Well, what is it? Well, they'll look it up real fast on Facebook or Instagram or YouTube or somewhere on Safari, and then they'll just tell you, nobody's learning that, nobody's studying that. They're just, it's all electronic. Nobody in their own mind, we're going to have a bunch of people. The only way we can learn anything, do anything, is here because we're not learning nothing. We're just making a comment. I'm just telling you about it. I'm not teaching you to do it. And if we're not careful, we're going to have this big society of people who rely totally on this. And if we don't have this, nobody knows nothing because nobody learned nothing because nobody studied nothing. That's right. So next, faithfulness and having faith. We just got a man who has never doubted, has never really truly believed. It's okay when you have doubts. It's okay for you to doubt. Because when you believe something, all of a sudden, you may have some doubts. But then after you have these doubts, you got to realize, you know what? But I got to be faithful. Even though I have these doubts and I have this situation, I know that God is faithful. And you can pull from your past. Mark 9:24. And straightway, the father of the child cried out and said with tears, Lord, I believe, help my unbelief. The father who had the child. He wanted Jesus to heal. He says, well, do you believe? He says, I believe, but help my unbelief. Sometimes you got to pray that God will help your unbelief about something. You're trusting for a healing. You're trusting for a miracle. And you're like, God, I believe. I know you can do it, but help my unbelief because I still got a little unbelief in me. John 6, 67 and 68. Then Jesus said to the 12 disciples, "Will you go away and leave me?" Then Peter answered him and said, "Where else do we have to go?" So if you're not going to serve Christ, there's only one other place to go. That's to serve the enemy. And that's down a dark path. Also, I'm speeding up here. Faithfulness when my commitments become costly. There's a lot of great starters, but not great finishers. We got to be faithful whenever we have those times that things get that start to cost us. It starts to have a little bit of pain. We start to have a little bit of hardship. Those times we got to remain faithful. Revelations 2 and 10. Do not fear for what you're about to suffer. Behold, the devil is about to throw some of you in prison, and that you may be tested. And for 10 days you will have tribulation. But be faithful unto death, and I will give you the crown of life. He's saying, listen, you're going to go, man, it's going to be hard. He's telling these guys, you're going to go, he told one of the churches, you're going to be thrown in prison for about 10 days. But you be faithful in prison, and I got you. You'll have the crown of life in heaven. We need to be faithful. See, what the thing is we got to understand is that Satan is defeated forever. It's not like he's going to come back and have a chance of winning the next fight. Whenever Christ comes back on that horse with us, he don't have a chance to win. There's 0% chance that he's going to win that fight. He's already been defeated. He's been defeated forever. God is the King of Kings. Who are we talking about? That's my King. He cannot win. The only way, he wins with me sometimes, that's because you let him. That's not the devil's fault. That's certainly not God's fault. We allow. Only what we permit is the amount of authority and power the enemy has over us. Why don't I know that? Because greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. So you got to know that. And we got to quit acting like God's not faithful because we're going through something when we haven't been faithful. Matthew 10, 22. And you will be hated for all my name's sake, but the one who endures to the end shall be saved. And lastly, I'm going to read that scripture in the message. When people realize it's the living God that you are presenting and not some idol that makes them feel good, they're going to turn on you. Even people in your own family. There's a great irony here. Proclaiming so much love, experiencing so much hate. But don't quit. Don't cave in. It is well worth it in the end. It is a success that you are after in such times as survival. Be survivors. Before you're run out of options, the Son of Man will have arrived. Before we're out of options, there's nothing else to do. Well, there he is. Dun, 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 like the trumpet will sound, right? We've got to be faithful. And I believe that's a problem with the church of today. The reason that the church is struggling, the reason the churches are lacking, is because there's a lack of faithfulness in the people, in us. Not only in the church, that's why the family's falling apart, because there's a lack of faithfulness. That's because, so in friendships, whatever relationships, lack of faithfulness. And I really felt like today that God would have me come to you and say, hey, be faithful. I'm faithful, you be faithful. And I say I'm faithful, I'm not referring to me, I'm referring to God speaking to you. I'm faithful, you be faithful. We have to be faithful. But we get tired and we get weak and we lose our faithfulness. Like Jesus said, hey, can y'all just pray with me? I'm about to die. I'm about to go to the cross, about to die. About to be whipped worse than any man's ever been beat. Can you be faithful for an hour with me? They couldn't be faithful for an hour. We have to be faithful. Amen? Did you bow your head and close your eyes? Is there anybody here today say, Pastor Doug, I haven't been faithful to God. I turned my back on Him. Or I've never received Him at all. And I want to go to eternity. Not because I'm scared of hell, but because of what Christ has done for me. Because of His love. Because I know that He'll never leave me nor forsake me. Because I know how much He cares. And I need that caring. I need that help. If you're here today, would you say that, hey, I want to accept Christ in my life for the first time? Or if you want to rededicate your life because maybe you turn your back on God. Anybody here at all want to raise their hand and do that today? Amen, amen, amen. Who would say, Pastor Doug, I'm a Christian. I love God. I'm faithful, but I'm not as faithful as I should be. Pray that I would be more faithful to God. My hand's up. Both my hands are up. Yeah, but you're the pastor. But that's okay. I'm still not as faithful as I should be. I need to be more faithful. After all what God has done for me, I got to be more faithful. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you right now. Thank you for this word, Father, today that may not be the most exciting. It may not have people jumping and excited and laughing and running or just talking and just leaving out of here about it. But God, hopefully that has touched each and every heart in this room and those who are watching online to know that they got to be faithful. That if we're going to grow the kingdom of God, they have to be faithful. If we're going to lead this church, we got to be faithful. If they're going to grow their family and be the head of their family, they got to be faithful. If they're going to make it at work and get promotions, they got to be faithful. And if the relationship's going to grow and they're going to have anybody to lean on here on this earth that could be a great, great best friend, they're going to have to be faithful. But most of all, God, they got to be faithful to you. And if they're not faithful to you, then no other faithfulness matters. If they're faithful to everybody else to the tilt, but they're not faithful with you, God, none of it even matters. God, we love you and we praise you and we worship you. We thank you. We honor you today, sir, for all that you've done. Thank you for meeting with us today. I love you, Father. In Jesus' name. Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Amen. Praise God. You're a big deal to me and a bigger deal to God. I love you. And y'all have a great week.